everyone. Good to see each one gathered with us here this evening. We welcome you in the Lord's great name. I'm going to make a wee start tonight just to our meeting by singing together the first hymn just in our wee hymn sheet. It's a well-known missionary hymn, and this is a missionary meeting. And it's a very fitting hymn for an occasion like this. The hymnwriter says, "We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. Jesus saves, spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. And Jesus saves, and Jesus saves." A great old hymn, great words of, as it were, encouragement to the believer, to the Church of Christ, to go forward with the gospel, both near and far. And let us stand as we sing, as the organist leads us, and let us sing it out just with all of our hearts. Just unite our hearts together, please, in prayer. Let us just look to the Lord afresh tonight, praying that we'll know much of His presence and nearness and His speaking voice to our hearts. Let us all pray. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we do still our hearts, O God, before Thee this evening hour. We come to Thee in and through the precious name of Thy beloved Son, our Saviour and our only Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is indeed the Son of Righteousness, the one who is indeed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, we thank Thee afresh tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for His coming into this world. We thank Thee, O God, that He came in accordance with Thy great plan and purpose of redemption. Father, we thank that He came at the fullness of Thy time. And Father, we thank Thee that He was born at Bethlehem. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, that He and walked amongst men here in this scene of time. And Father, we thank Thee that He went willingly to the cross of Calvary for our salvation and for the saving of our precious never-dying souls. And Father, we thank Thee that on that cross He poured out His life unto death. And we praise Him, we thank Thee, O God, for His spotless life, His perfect life. And Father, we thank Thee that on that cross He cried out, "It is finished," and that He offered Himself a once-for-all sacrifice for sin. And Father, we thank Thee for that precious blood that He shed, and we rejoice in the power of the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all sin. And Father, we rejoice, O God, tonight as Thy people, for that redeeming power in the blood of the Lamb, that through the blood of Christ we've been brought out of nature's night and nature's darkness, out of the domain and the camp of Satan. We've been brought into the family, into the fold of God. And Father, we thank Thee that this is all due to Thy grace and the riches of Thy grace that has been revealed and manifested unto us through the person and through the work of Thy Son. And Father, we thank that He died for us, that He rose again victorious. And praise Thee and thank Thee, O God, that He is seated at Thy right hand, the right hand of the Majesty on high. And Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee, O God, that there He ever lives to intercede for us as the people of God. And O God, our Father, as we come before Thee this night, we thank Thee and praise Thee for all of Thy goodness and mercies to us, even since we've last met in this fashion. And we thank Thee for Thy preserving hand upon us today in our going out and in our coming in. And Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for ordering our steps and enabling us, Lord, to gather here tonight in this place where prayer is wont to be made. And O God, as we come before Thee this night, we just pray, Lord, from this opening hymn until the last amen, that we might know a very gracious, conscious sense of the presence of the Lord with us and amongst us tonight, O God, we pray. O Lord, we ask that Thou wilt draw near. Now, Lord, Thou hast said in Thy word that if we draw nigh unto Thee, Thou hast said, "I will draw nigh unto You." And Father, we pray that each one of us might know and hear the speaking voice of God to our hearts tonight, that still small voice of God saying, "This is the way, walk ye therein." We thank Thee for all who have been able to come tonight, for every household and family, Lord, that is represented. We pray that Thou wilt meet the need of every heart and of every life tonight. Do bless Thy people. Do encourage and strengthen each one of us in our most holy faith. Help us, Lord, to be up and doing for Thee in these days in which we live. For, Lord, Thou hast said in Thy word that the night cometh when no man can work. And, Lord, help us to be conformed to the image of Christ day by day, that by our life, by our actions, by our words and by our deeds, that others might see something of the Lord Jesus Christ in us and through our life and through our witness, we pray. O God, do cleanse our hearts afresh even tonight in the precious blood of the Savior, and prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive Thy word, that we might receive it with that meek spirit, O God, that comes from Thee. And give us grace not only to hear Thy word, but to live out Thy word in our lives day by day. Remember every household and family represented. Meet the need of every heart and of every life and home. Do unite our family circles in the Lord. We pray especially for those that cannot be with us tonight because of age or sickness or infirmity. We pray for them that Thou wilt bless them, that Thou wilt strengthen them, that Thou wilt encourage them. Remember others that tend the bed of sickness at this time. May they know the help and the presence and the nearness of the Lord with them, round about them. And for others, Lord, that have suffered loss in recent times, even in our congregation here, we pray that Thou wilt comfort their hearts and strengthen them by the grace and power of God divine, we pray. Remember other prayer meetings such as this. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt bless, Lord, wherever Thy people meet faithfully tonight, around Thy word and around the throne of grace and around the person of Christ. Bless Thy church, bless Thy cause in these days in which we live. And Father, we rejoice tonight that Thou art upon the throne. And we rejoice, O God, tonight that Thou hast said that I will build My church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do remember, Lord, Thy servant tonight who's come amongst us. We thank Thee for him, for saving him, and for the work that thou hast called them to do. We pray that thou would bless him and his wife as they fellowship with us tonight. We pray that their hearts might be greatly encouraged in the Lord, and that they in turn, Lord, might be a blessing to us through the ministry that they would bring tonight, we pray. Again, Lord, we thank thee for that open door in the land of Ukraine. We thank thee for thy people there and thy churches there, we pray. And Lord, even in that land, in midst of much uncertainty and war and strife, O God, we pray that thou wilt bless your people, encourage the saints of God there, and advance the gospel. And may many come from the darkness of sin and false religion and atheism into the glorious light and liberty of the gospel, we pray. Again, Lord, we thank thee for the meetings here last Lord's Day. Bless all who heard your word, and do speak on, we beseech of thee, to the saving of precious souls. Abide with us now, we pray. Do our hearts much good tonight. May we leave this place knowing that we've met with God, the blessing of the Lord afresh in our hearts and in our souls, and in everything that is said and done, we pray that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be honored and glorified. And again, Lord, we're mindful also of those that may be viewing online, whoever they are tonight, wherever they might be. We pray that thou wilt bless them also and speak to them and minister to their hearts through thy word and through thy truth tonight. For we ask these things for Jesus' sake and for thine eternal glory and praise. Amen and amen. Yes, we welcome you all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see each one with us here this evening. And we bid you welcome also those that may be viewing online, whoever you are, wherever you might be tonight as well. We pray that you'll know the blessing of the Lord through his word and through the ministry of the Lord's servant tonight. Do remember, please, the meetings over the weekend. Be much in prayer for them. Friday night, the youth fellowship meeting here at 8 o'clock. We do pray for that and pray there'll be a goodly number of young people would gather together for that evening of fellowship. And then the services on the Lord's Day morning, 11 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class, and then the morning worship service at 12 noon, and then the evening gospel service at 7, and in the will of the Lord, we belong to minister God's word, and both services also preceded by the half hour of prayer in the back prayer room. And do remember also that on the Lord's Day evening is our annual carol service. Do pray much for that, and pray for the boys and girls and young people as they take part, that they know God's help and blessing. There are wee invites there for that meeting out on the table in the porch, and we would encourage you to take those and give them out to friends and family and neighbours and invite others in. Make that special effort, even at outreach at this time of gathering people in under the sound of God's word. So do remember that, and just remind the members of session, there's a short session meeting after the meeting tonight. If we could maybe just meet briefly just in the minister's room immediately after the meeting as our brother goes to the door, we'll just go in there to meet and shouldn't be too long, maybe 5 or 10 minutes, appreciate that after the meeting. We give a very special welcome tonight to our good brother in Christ, our brother Mr. Donald Fleming and his wife Jacqueline. We welcome them in the Lord's great name. Our brother has been with us in the past and we've been blessed through his ministry, through the work that he's involved in, through the testimony night as well. And we welcome him in the Lord's great name. And he's going to come now and minister God's word, give a report and an update in the work also in Ukraine, out in Eastern Europe. And then do remember the offering tonight. Its entirety goes towards that work and to help with the needs out there. Brother has some, prayer letters or missionary newsletters there. We commend those to you as well, and that'll give you an update as well further on the work out there in your Ukraine. He's come a long way from Newton Arch tonight, but I think he's maybe staying in Fermanagh for a night or two to get some of the Fermanagh air and escape all the rain up in Newton Arch. But we welcome you in the Lord's name, and we pray the Lord will bless you tonight. Thank you, brother.
For allowing us to come along again tonight and to share God's word with you and to just to keep you updated on what's been going on out there in Ukraine. I'm just going to take a wee sip of water. Now, if you hear a little tickly cough starting, don't be running out the door. It's not COVID. It's a wee seasonal thing I get every year. It started in Ukraine and it goes on now and again, but there's nothing to worry about. But I'm sure you're looking at this and thinking, Ukraine, what's going on in Ukraine at the moment? Well, as you know, there's almost 100,000 Russian troops sitting on the Russian side of the Ukrainian border. We work within 2 miles of the Russian border. We have been up in the east where the war is going on now, as far up as the trenches and so on. But I think the world is waiting to see what's going to happen in Ukraine. We don't feel as though that he will invade. We feel as though it's more or less a show of strength and politics and everything else that goes with it. But you never know. In this day and age, we just don't know what is going to happen. So we would appreciate your prayers for Ukraine, that the Lord would protect them, that the Lord would take away Mr. Putin and his armies from the Ukrainian border, and that the people can get on with their lives over there. They say that he's going to invade at the beginning of the new year. I don't believe that. I think it's just all hyped up by the media. We leave on the 4th of January, so I hope he doesn't. We'll never get home again if he does that. But brothers and sisters, God is on the throne. We don't have to worry about things like that. And when he's called us into service, regardless of the situation, we serve him. We go and we give him our best. You know, as I was sitting there looking at that slide, it brought me back to 21 years ago when I was in the RUC, and I was actually at the doc's house, Mr. Paisley's house, that night. And the Lord had called us into the service just at that time. And I remember him telling me to set up the organisation Faith in Action and to set about his work and to come out the police. And I remember sitting with the Bible open at the doc's house, looking at the first chapter of James. And I said, Lord, I says, we need a name. We have to register if you want us to do this. We need a name. And there was a few words just sort of attracted my attention, and it just said Faith in Action. And I said, Lord, that's too big a name for us. I said, I could never live up to a name like that. I said, could you not give us another name? He said, no. He said, that's what you're going to be called, Faith in Action Missions. And for the last 21 years, we have lived by faith. We've never had to ask for money. We never mentioned money. We never fundraise. The Lord knows. It's his work. He knows exactly what is required. And it's hard living by faith. It really is. I'm sure you know that. But you know something? We have a God who owns the cattle on the thousand hills. He never lets us down. And it's a blessing tonight to say in the 21 years that we've served him, he's never let us down. And he never will. So, brothers and sisters, I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. I'm sure that as you're driving down the road from time to time, or maybe as you're sitting at home, and I'm sure from time to time it comes into your head all about heaven. What is heaven going to be like? And you know, you couldn't think of anything better, could you? That's our home. This is where we're going. And from time to time we think of the no mores of heaven. Let's just look at them in Revelation 21. Let's see what the Word of God has to say. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. We think of the things that are going to be no more in heaven, and what a place it's going to be, and many blessings already wait the believer, the child of God, in heaven. Look at that list. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. Brothers and sisters, heaven is going to be a wonderful place. These are the things that weigh us down now, aren't they? All because of sin. This is the things that weigh heavily on our hearts through sickness, through sorrow, through death, through all of the things that creep into our lives on a daily basis. When we get to glory, the Lord said, there'll be no more. What a place and what a future, what an inheritance we have. But you know, we're still here in the meantime. And while we're here, there are some things that are going to be no more also as we go through our pilgrimage here. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Not only will there be no mores in heaven, but there are some no mores here and now for you and for I. And praise the Lord for these no mores. Let's look at some of the three. There's three no mores here I just want to touch on. Chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Brothers and sisters, as far as the believer is concerned, there is no more conscience of sin. Praise the Lord for that. Look at verse 1. It tells us that the law was only a shadow of the good things that were still to come. What was that good thing that was still to come? Surely it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was the good part that was yet to come. But here we find here that in these verses that the law was only a shadow at that time. It tells us that the priests stood daily sacrificing animal after animal after animal, the blood of which could never take away the sins of the people. Look at verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. And because they couldn't take away the people's sins, their consciences were never purged. They still had this conscience of sin. Oh, brothers and sisters, a conscience is a terrible thing, isn't it? The next morning after you've had maybe a night out and as an unsaved person, the things that you've maybe done in that life, how that they used to come back to haunt us. But thank God that when we came to Christ, he saved us, that the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ not only cleansed our sinful hearts, but that it purged our conscience. If you look at verse 9, chapter 9, chapter 9 and verse 14, it tells us, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The blood of the animals in the Old Testament could never do anything for the people. They were still in their sin. They still had that conscience of their sin. But thank God that when the Lord Jesus Christ came, and when he went to Calvary, when he went to the cross, we thank him tonight that he stood there in our place, that he suffered more than any man, that they took him and they beat him, that they mocked him, that they spat upon him, that they scourged him and crowned him with thorns and took him to the cross and they crucified him. And brothers and sisters, he was the good one that was to come. And thank God that as he hung upon that cross, his blood was shed. Brothers and sisters, I remember not too long ago, John MacArthur saying that we're not saved by the blood of Christ. I would like to take issue with that. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, you and I are still in our sin tonight, and we're on our way into hell. But thank God, our Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood upon the cross. He suffered, he shed his blood, he died upon that cross. He did what the Old Testament sacrifices could never, ever do. So as far as you and I, the believer in Christ, is concerned tonight, there is no more conscience of sin. He cleansed our sinful hearts. He purged our conscience. And tonight, as we sit here in Christ Jesus, we have no more conscience of sin. Praise the Lord. Praise his holy name for what he has done in our lives. If you look at verse 17, it tells us in verse 17, "And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." What another blessing. Not only do we not have the conscience of sin tonight as we sit here, but there's no more remembrance. Brothers and sisters, surely this must be one of the great, great blessings for the believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. No more remembrance of our sin. Thank God that he has cast those sins into the depth of the sea. In Psalm 103 and in verse 12, it tells us that God has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. He has removed them from us. Why does he not say as far as the north is from the south? Because due to polarization, they meet, the north and south will meet again. And if God had have cast our sins away as far as the north is from the south, he wouldn't have cast them very far. He would have met them again. This is why he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Brothers and sisters, the east and the west, how far apart are they? No one knows. They're incalculable. No one can estimate how far the east is from the west. They continue to drift further and further and further away into infinity. No one can calculate how far the east is from the west. And this is where God has cast your sin and my sin, as far as the east is from the west. Isn't it wonderful that as we sit here tonight, no conscience of the past sin that we lived in, that we enjoyed, we lived in it. Tonight, there is no more conscience of that sin. And tonight, he's telling us that as far as our sin is concerned, God remembers it no more. Brothers and sisters, he has cast our sin as far as the east is from the west. He has cast our sins into the depth of the sea. So as far as the believer in our Lord Jesus Christ is concerned tonight, there is no more conscience of sin. As far as God is concerned, there is no more remembrance of sin. And if you look at verse 18, it tells us, "Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin." So as far as our Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, there is no more offering for sin. There is no more sacrifice for sin. We thank him and we praise him tonight that he came into this world. He went to that cross. He suffered. He shed his precious blood and he died upon that cross for us and rose again from the dead on the third day. Do you know what I love about all of this? My Savior will never have to suffer again. One sacrifice for sins forever. Then he sat down. Thank God tonight that the work is finished, that the work is complete. I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church. I wasn't told this in the Roman Catholic Church. Daily, they crucified him again. They sacrificed through the sacrifice of the Mass daily. Little did the people know. I didn't know until I got saved in the police. I didn't realize that this man offered a sacrifice for sins once, forever, and I want to add for all. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that he will never suffer again in your place or in my place. What a Savior we have. And this is what I love about. I love the fact that I have no more conscience of sin. I love the fact that God remembers my sin no more. But I love this part where my Savior will never be sacrificed again. He'll never die for your sin. He'll never die for my sin. He'll never have to go through Jerusalem being laughed at, being mocked, being spat upon. He'll never have to go through any of that again. He'll never have to die for our sins again. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Romans 6:9 tells us, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. He doesn't die again, brothers and sisters. He's alive, and he's alive forevermore. He will never have to shed his blood. He will never have to die for your sin or for my sin again. He dieth no more. Death have no more dominion over him. And fourthly, Galatians 4:7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. As far as sin is concerned, we are no more a slave to sin. Brothers and sisters, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Isn't it wonderful that we can say that tonight? We were slaves to sin. We were the servant of sin until the day that we met the Savior. And thank God that when we did meet him, that our sin was placed upon him at Calvary. Our sin was imputed to him, but the day that we met him, his righteousness was imputed to us. Yes, there's still the old nature still there. The old devil tries to get us to say this or do this or watch that. But you know something, we're no longer slaves to that sin. So as far as sin is concerned, we're no longer slaves to that. We have become children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as children of God, we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And because of that, we enjoy the many blessings that flow from being a child of God and joint heir with Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us just a few of them. In verse 1, it calls us the faithful in Christ. Verse 2 tells us that we have peace with Christ. Verse 3 tells us that we receive all the spiritual blessings in Christ. Verse 4 tells us that we have been chosen in Christ. Verse 5, adopted in Christ. Verse 6, accepted in Christ. Verse 7, forgiven in Christ. And verse 12, trusting in Christ. And I love verse 13, sealed in Christ. Brothers and sisters, the day that we trusted in our Lord Jesus Christ, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of our redemption. What a blessing that is. No one can open that seal. Satan may try, but you know something? We are saved for time and eternity, and this seal will never be broken until the day that we get to glory. What a blessing we have tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the blessings we have. We've not even started to mention them tonight. As far as the believer is concerned, there's no more conscience of sin. As far as God is concerned, there's no more remembrance of sin. As far as Christ is concerned, there is no more offering or sacrifice for sin. And as far as sin is concerned, we're no longer slaves to sin. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, may God bless these thoughts to our hearts tonight. And may we rejoice in our salvation. Tell me this. Has COVID put the flame out? Is the fire out? Do you feel it? Do you feel your heart getting colder, cooler? Are you cooling off? Because we can't do the things that we've been used to doing? The devil wants that to happen. Don't ever let that happen. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to rekindle that flame in your heart. Get back out again. Get serving him. The world is living in fear at the moment. We don't have to fear. We know where we're going. He's our Savior. Brothers and sisters, may God bless these simple thoughts to our hearts. I want to take you to the presentation now, because there's been quite a bit happening. Even though we were hindered in many ways, we were able to send out to the ministry about 140,000 over the last few months to continue and to push the work forward, because in Ukraine, they have ignored the pandemic. Everything goes as before. So it's been a blessing. But, you know, here we weren't allowed to do that. So what we tried to do, the Lord opened the door for us to go and to reach the NHS, the frontline staff in the NHS. And we looked at it as an opportunity to go and speak to them on their doorsteps. Yes, in the beginning there, the staff were experiencing trouble because they were working so long, big hours, and they couldn't get food or fruit, and they were complaining about that. So we had the idea to put little hampers together and go to the frontline staff and give them a blessing and thank them for what they've done, with the goal of talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing we had for weeks as we went to them, gave them the little gift. That was just the door opener. We just wanted to talk to them about our Savior, because there was so much fear in their hearts. Their children were suffering anxiety. They thought that their mothers and fathers would die on the COVID wards. And we thought this is a good opportunity to go and talk peace to them about the Prince of Peace himself. So we had a wonderful opportunity as Jacqueline and Laura and the different ones went to the different members of the NHS, and just to say to them and just to thank them, we got to this girl's door. She's a Roman Catholic girl with a big poster on her door, "I love Jesus." And I thought, this is interesting. And it turns out that she was a Roman Catholic lady, and the opportunity that we had, such a lovely lady, and she must have took about 40 minutes just to stand and talk to us about the Savior. And I could identify with her. I said, yes, I used to be in the same position you're in, but the Lord has set me free. And she was so interested in everything that we had to say to her. So over that period of time, because we couldn't get to Ukraine, there was no flights, we had such a blessing of going to the doctors and the nurses and just supporting them through the very difficult work that they were doing. And then the Lord opened, there was a little window opened for Jacqueline and I, and we headed out to Ukraine. We headed to Aldergrove Airport first, and that was it. The place was empty. And I thought, hallelujah, praise the Lord, this is great. This is the best trip we've ever going to have, because there's no queues. It was just straight through at Aldergrove. And we got to Gatwick, and it was much the same at Gatwick. The place wasn't as busy as normal. Then we got to Ukraine, and it was as though there was no pandemic. There was a handful of people with a mask on, and really, that was it. And we went in, and I said to Jacqueline at the airport, okay, this is where it's going to happen. And we went in, and for the next number of weeks that we were there, we just felt God's hand upon us, because it was humanly impossible to protect yourself from COVID, because the churches over there didn't listen to all the stories about COVID. Yes, they all get sick. None of them died. They caught flus and headaches and colds and things like that. But we were caught in the middle of this with all the fear that had been instilled into our brains that you're going to die terrible deaths and everything else. And, you know, people have. Many people have died, and it's very, very difficult for the loved ones and so on. But we went in there not really knowing what to expect. And it was such a blessing to see that the churches were full steam ahead for the Lord Jesus Christ. No masks, no social distancing, no sanitizers, normal. And what a blessing it became as we set about serving the Lord in our normal way. This is the Christian school. I told you a little bit about that the last time I was here. Sasha is on your right. He is the headmaster. He's been over here, maybe 5 or 6 times with the school. We used to go to the Christian school in Portadown to Mrs. Haffey and Mr. Priestley in Bangor. They had a great connection together with our Christian school. And I remember the government telling Sasha, do not open this Christian school. They said, if you open it, we're going to crush you. And Sasha says, I will obey God, not man. And praise the Lord, he opened the school. There was only 5 children and a couple of teachers, and that's when the Lord sent us to support him. And we went to them, we supported them. And today the school is really going well. Sorry, the lights are making that a little bit dark. But there's about 190 children in the school now. And you know something, what a blessing this school has become. Sasha is the headmaster. He's also a pastor over there. And his church has been built in the principles of the Free Presbyterian Church. You've got a Free Presbyterian Church in Ukraine and you don't realize it. And it was built through Sasha, his experiences with the Free Church here. And he set up his, more or less, the equivalent of the Free Presbyterian Church in Ukraine. This is the children, 190 of them. They were going through a difficult time because a lot of the parents couldn't work because of COVID, so they couldn't pay the school fees. So we were able to keep the school open by sending the finances in. And today, things are going really well. The government wondered why the Christian school was doing so well. Why do your children not drink? Why do they not smoke? Why do they never use bad language? And we could tell them, Jesus makes a difference. And they said, what do you mean? And we told them, they said, will you come and teach Christian principles to our state schools? And we thought, wow, this is only of God. Because no man can open a door like this except God is in this. So we went along to the state schools. We started with the teachers. We didn't want to start with the pupils. We wanted to start educating the teachers and the headmasters and headmistresses about the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that became as the teachers began to get saved. And now today in the Christian school, the headmistress is a former state school headmistress. Saved, walking well, serving well the Lord Jesus Christ and looking after the school. And a number of teachers were saved. But we were able to go to the state schools. The Orthodox priests were very, very angry that we had been allowed in with the truth, because the people were hearing the truth for the very first time. We don't mess about with God's word. The people hear the truth. And there was a lot of uproar, a lot of ruckus over this because we had been allowed in. But the Lord kept the door open. The people heard the truth of the word of God and not some watery doctrine that the Orthodox Church wanted to invent. And they heard the truth, and it was wonderful to see people being saved. This is a ministry to the sick and the elderly. And one of the villages that we work in, that's one of our full-time workers, Nikolai. Because we couldn't get in, and the elderly weren't getting any help from the government over there. And they had no money, they had no means of support. Many of them were getting sick. So we set up COVID funds in all the villages where anybody gets sick, that they could draw on the fund to go to the doctor, to go to the hospital for treatment or for medicines or anything like that. This is Nikolai taking groceries, food to the elderly and just being a blessing to them because they had no money to look after themselves. Maria, on the red there, Maria was, she kept passing out. Her pulse was only 40 and she kept passing out. And we were able to have a pacemaker installed in this sister. And her health became better than my own health. So praise the Lord that she was doing really well. And then Pastor Pavel, who you're going to hear a bit about tonight, he's a man who's on fire for Christ. What a brother and what a love for the Lord. These men have been to prison for their faith. They have been through deep persecution. And he reaches out into the extreme villages. And that on this day, he reached out and he found this dear lady here. As you can see, she has no legs. She lives in a tiny little shack. It's like something you would see in Ireland maybe 400 years ago. And she lives in this little shack. No money, no food, nothing of this world's good. But when the pastor met her, he said to her, is there anything that you need? She said, one thing I need. She said, I need to be baptized. She said, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. And she became a believer through her mother who has since died. And you know something, what a blessing. There's no churches near her. She's never been in a church in her life. All she has is a copy of the Word of God, and that sustains her. The Lord keeps her through the Word of God. And she wanted to be baptized. And again, the pastor was able to do that. They found an old rusty bath and baptized her. And She's back on her own again in this little village. But what a witness that God has this little bit of light in this very dark village where the occult is very strong. But the Lord has his witnesses everywhere. And that's the pastor in the middle. And the lady on his left, the other ones are believers from the church, and they were taking food to them again. But the neighbor heard the singing, and she says, "What's going on?" And she came into the house, and they were having a time of praise. They were praising the Lord. And then the pastor, he opened the word of God. And this lady who was being nosy, she heard the gospel for the first time, and she got saved. She came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ through the ministry going to help the folks with food. The lady in the back of the photograph is Valentina. She's one of the ladies who cooks for us every day. But just last year, she was diagnosed with grade 4 cancer, and it's been very difficult for the family. She's only 44 years of age, and young family. And this sister had grade 4 cancer. The mission were able to support her through all of their treatment. And just recently, she got the all clear that the cancer had went into remission. So, brothers and sisters, just thank God for us tonight for that, because this was so important and so big for our team and for our family and for the church out there. And that was just the morning after we had arrived, believe it or not. That's breakfast. So you can see what... If you see my belly getting a wee bit bigger, that's why. You're going in there at 9 o'clock in the morning to your potatoes and your chicken, something that we would get at 6 or 7 o'clock at night. You get that for your breakfast over there. But they just wanted to say thank you. This is them just showing their appreciation, and such a blessing. This is a little boy called Nazar, and we met him in the villages. It belongs to a believer's family, and we met them at this church for the first time. And we wondered why they were so sad-looking. And they said that this little boy had stomach cancer. And it was a terrible shock to the family. 3 years of age, the little boy had stomach cancer. Again, we were able to take Nazar and put him through all of his treatment. And again, he got the all clear. The Lord answered prayer. And he's really growing up now, a good, strong little boy. So we're able to do quite a bit. This family here, Roma and Tanya, they live away out in one of the extreme villages, and they use their house to preach the gospel. They bring the villagers in from far and wide to hold the meetings in their little house, a little shack. The Orthodox priest in the village was very angry with them. He put a curse upon the family, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, their house burst into flames in 3 different places. Everything was destroyed. The family managed to get out safely, but their house was burned to the ground. But, you know, praise the Lord provided, and we built the house up again. And that's, you know, you can see a nice kitchen there. That kitchen, £500 in Ukraine, puts in. It's not great material, it's cheap. But, you know something, it's home. They never had anything. We were able to build our home up again. And already the gospel meetings have started again. Pray for this little family that the Lord will protect them, because the devil, he's busy. And the Orthodox priest is one of his servants. And they're out there putting curses upon anyone who's doing God's true work. So please pray for this little family. And the disabled camp. I want a lot of prayer for this. Brothers and sisters, if you could really pray for this. This is something that takes place every year in June. What a ministry this is, as the churches come together and they work together, and what a blessing it is, and they can take in up between 100 and 150 disabled people. Over there, they put people into these high-rise flats with no elevators, and they're in wheelchairs and they can't walk. And they never get out. But the people, God's people, go to them and carry them down the stairs and take them out to the park for walks and to get fresh air. But this is something that they look forward to every June, where the church comes together and there's maybe 100 believers come to look after them. And they'll go for a week to the camp. And the camp is totally Bible-based. This is where the people hear the word of God. Many people, many of these disabled people are being saved. And what a ministry this is. Please pray for it. Please pray for this ministry. It's so important to the people. It's so important to the people who are disabled. Please pray that the Lord will continue to provide for this camp, because it's so important in many, many ways. It's bearing much fruit. So please, please pray that God will protect them and that the Lord will provide everything that's needed to hold that camp every year. There's children with Down syndrome. They're brought along to the camp also. And they're fed, they're looked after, they're nursed if they need be. Tanya is paralyzed completely. She goes to the camp. She was saved at the camp the previous year. And she came back and she just wanted to be baptized. Even in her condition, she was dying. Paralyzed, couldn't walk, couldn't really talk. But they took her and they baptized her, and she passed into glory 2 weeks after that photograph. So, brothers and sisters, please pray for this camp. This camp is so, so important to the people, to our mission, to the fellowships over there. They do marvelous work. They go drive about for 2 or 3 days all over the different parts of Ukraine, bringing these people into the camp, loving them, caring for them, and winning them for the Lord Jesus Christ. These people in Ukraine, they don't have any hope. No one cares if you're disabled in Ukraine. God does. And God's people do. And this is the outcome of it. It's marvelous, marvelous work. This is one man at the camp. As you can see him sitting down in his wheelchair, he's repenting. He's coming to faith. It's such a fruitful ministry. Then the ministry at the summer camp also. This is Pastor Pavel's church. This 180 attend this meeting for a week to 10 days also. And this is mostly for children. And they bring the children and the youth in for 7 days, totally Bible-based, all about the Lord, teaching them salvation. This is young people repenting at the end of the camp, coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, they take it very, very serious over there. They don't believe in praying a little prayer and getting on with it. They believe what the Lord Jesus Christ said, except a man deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow after me, he cannot be my disciple. This is what they teach over there. They win them for Christ, and then they nurture them, they take them and they teach them what comes next. It's such a blessing to see the way that the churches work here. And then to the foster families. This church, Pastor Pavel's church, the government actually contact the church if a mother or a father dies and there's no parents to look after the children. This church take the children into the church, and they're fostered out to the church families. There's families with 10 children, 12 children, 6 children, 7 children. That's Natasha and her husband. She's got 2 of her own. All the rest of them are adopted. This is a ministry within the church, taking orphans who have no one to love them or care for them, taking them, loving them, winning them for Christ. That church is full of children, full of children. There's over 100 children within the church and young people. And what a blessing that ministry is. But because of that, they don't have much money. It's difficult for them. So we set up foster family funds. The work that they do, surely the least that we can do is support that work. And we try to help them financially to get them their school uniforms, to get them their Christmas presents and different things like that. At this time of the year, to buy wood for the fire to keep them warm when it's maybe minus 20 or minus 30 degrees. So we help the foster families in many different ways. That's Ruslan, he's an elder within the church. That's his family, looking after them, loving them, winning them for Christ. You can see the houses are so small, but these people don't live for self. They live for Christ. They don't care about the things of the world, the riches, the treasures. They don't want anything. They want Christ. They serve him. It's 24/7. It's not Sunday Christianity. It's every day. And what a blessing to be part of that. The COVID patients, again, in the middle of COVID, all the believers set about the villages. Pastor Pavel's daughter is a doctor. And when we go over, we go through the villages with the gospel. And I'm serious, it's like Ireland 400 or 500 years ago, the tiny wooden shacks, the big deep well, and you get the bucket up, the hole in the back garden used as a toilet. This is the situation in these villages. When we go into these people, Dr. Luba comes with us and we go through all the village and we'll go into a family and we let her do her bit first and she will go and meet the physical need. Are you okay? What's wrong with you? Okay, let me take your temperature and so on and look after the physical. And then she finishes and we take over the spiritual. And brothers and sisters, what a blessing that is. Caring for the man and the soul. Reaching people. And this is why we're seeing so much fruit today. Because we're showing people that we care. We're showing people the way that the Lord Jesus Christ did it. He loved them. His great heart of compassion was moved to people. And brothers and sisters, if we truly believe that he is our example, we will do the same. We have to do the same. If he is our example, do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is our example, brothers and sisters? Yeah? No? Amen. Well, we have to do what he did. We have to reach the people. Doesn't matter who they are. We need to go to them. And we need to love them like he loved them. We need to reach them and help them and win them for Christ. We need to reach them. These people are lost. And there's people like that in Enniskillen. And in Newton Ards where I live. They're lost. And if we won't love them, people are not stupid today. They know that we just want to preach to them. We need to love them. We need to love them. Then we can talk to them. This is the sick. We set up all the COVID funds throughout the different villages. This is another village. This is what a village meeting looks like. You can see one of the shacks in the back. The villagers come out and they'll sit in a semicircle. And that meeting will last for maybe 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And there'll be 2 or 3 messages preached, one for the believers and one for the unbelievers. And there'll be testimonies told. And what a time we have, and nobody gets bored or fed up or has to go and put the potatoes on. They sit and they listen to the word of God. And at the end of it, it's always so fruitful. There's Jacqueline with 2 women who had just came forward to repent and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are seeing souls won. We're seeing lots of fruit for our labor, especially in these villages, because the people have nothing, but they want God. Isn't that wonderful? We have too much of the world here that we think we don't want God or we don't need God. But over there, they have nothing. So they trust in God and they lean in him. The word of God is very precious to us. And I want to thank the sister who helped us to get the word of God just 2 years ago before COVID started from this fellowship. Thank you so much, dear sister. We were able to send 1,000 copies of the Word of God in through the Trinitarian Bible Society, and they delivered them right to the city. And that was Jacqueline and I going up at midnight to the city to collect 1,000 copies of God's Word. And what a blessing it was to go to the people, you know, not only to help them with finances or food, but with this treasure, the Word of God. Do you still find the Word of God as a treasure? I never had a Bible until I was 40 years of age. Roman Catholics don't read Bibles. They don't get Bibles. They're told that they don't need it. The priest will read it for you. I didn't have one until I was 40 years of age. I love this book. Brothers and sisters, do you still love the Word of God? Maybe you did love it at one time, but what about today? Do you still love the Word? We take the word everywhere we go. Prisons. We get the word of God into the prisons, into the hands of the people, into the villages, into the hospitals. Matthew 25, verse 35 and 36, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was in prison and you came to me. I was sick and you visited me," and so on. We live by that. We follow that example of what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about that day. So we go to the prisoners, and this is a normal meeting. You can have 1,000 men sitting. You can hear a pin drop, the respect for the gospel. I remember saying to one of the guards, "What happens if the riot?" I said, "I mean, you're on your own here, and there's 1,000 men." He said, "We just shoot them." I said, "Okay, that's a good deterrent. Maybe that's why they don't riot. They just shoot them." But this is a normal meeting. You go in here and the people hear the word of God. Sorry, again, that's a wee bit dark because of the light, but that's women. There's about 1,000 women here. We'll be heading into the women's prison very soon. We go back at the beginning of January. And again, this is them coming forward. They're hungry for the word of God because they know that their life has been ruined. These people are there for terrible, terrible crimes, murdering children in terrible ways and many other terrible crimes. But you know, before we leave, we give them 2 Bibles, one for themselves and one to pass on to somebody else. These are the ones who have repented, they've came to faith, they're receiving the copy of the Word of God. The Word of God goes everywhere with us. This is them receiving it. You can see how important it is. And not only the Word of God, but we also put into the hands of the people who can't read trans-world radios. And the trans-world radios, we have our own SIM card with gospel preaching and Bible teaching and singing. And the people can go home and they can hear the gospel. If they can't read, or they're too old to read and their eyes are going dim, they can go home and they can listen to the gospel. And it's been so effective. We've got people being saved through trans world radios with a SIM card, and now they're coming to church to hear the real thing, as they would say. So it really is a tremendous work. We'll be in the women's prison soon. Drug and Alcohol Rehabilitation Center. Men and women who have no hope. And it's drugs is bad. We think Northern Ireland is bad. It's nowhere near as bad as Ukraine. It's everywhere. And in this photo, the man at the bottom left, that's Pastor Dennis. All these people have been drug addicts and alcoholics. And this is them putting a tent up in the main street, telling people no drugs. The police tried to move them. The chemists tried to remove them because it's the chemists that are at fault. They're selling drugs to many of the people. But this ministry is so powerful. There's many people being saved through this ministry. And not only are they being saved, there's one man, there's Pastor Dennis. I was talking to him today. They're building a new rehabilitation center at the moment to help these people. This is a man repenting just 2 weeks ago. There's another one was last week, kept coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the baptisms. They took them down to the sea. Quite a drive to get to it. But they wanted to be baptized, so they were taken there, and they were baptized. And what a blessing that is, to see not only people making professions, but people carrying on and following the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the fellowship of the Drug and Alcoholic Rehabilitation Center. Another ministry to the needy. This is Pastor Pavel on the right-hand side with 2 of the elders going into a new village. And they just get down on their knees and they pray that God will protect them because the occult is very dangerous in these places. We had one man came at our missionary with a knife that size and held it against his throat and told him if he spoke the name of Jesus again, he was going to kill him. So we need your prayers for protection as we go into these villages. And as they prayed, they went into one of the young men that they met was this young man here, young Max, 24 or 25 years of age, lying, dying on his own. Nobody wanted him. Nobody cared for him. Pastor Pavel tried to take him to the House of Hope that we built, but the young man wouldn't go. There was just rotten food lying all over the place, and the smell was terrible. But the young man says, no, he says, I'm not leaving here. He says, it's too late. And he wouldn't go. He passed away a few weeks after that photograph was taken. And this is the sort of thing that we're finding in the villages, people who are dying, people who are very, very sick. And this is why we built the House of Hope. We built the first Christian care home in Ukraine to give people hope. And brothers and sisters, this place is under severe satanic attack. This, we need you to pray for the House of Hope. This house takes in the elderly and the sick who are lying dying in the villages on their own. The police tried to close it about 10 months ago, and they came to the House of Hope, and Pastor Pavel called all of these authorities together and stood and said this to them. This is God's house. God built this place. The glory of God hovers over this house, and we're not afraid of you. He said, we will stand against you, and we will die for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the stand that we're taking today. We need your prayers because there is severe satanic attack upon this place and upon this ministry and upon Pastor Pavel and his fellowship. They have a Christian school also, and they are being severely attacked right at this time. Please put them in your prayer. Just pray for Pastor Pavel, and the House of Hope and his Christian school. God has blessed this work. Brothers and sisters, this work, I've never seen a work like this in this area. It's so fruitful. Many people are being helped and blessed and won for the Savior in this area through this work. This is the carers within that church. This is the same church where I told you they have 100 children. They're coming up to Christmas Eve very soon. Christmas Eve, they'll have a meeting in the church with 700 youth from the villages, 700, 800 brought in, fed, and they'll hear the gospel. Christmas Day, they'll have a meeting for 3 hours on Christmas Day. They'll bring all the elderly and all the sick and all the poor into the church. Let them hear the word of God, and then they'll feed every one of them and take them all home again. That's Christmas Day and Christmas Eve, and then Boxing Day they'll do the same. Christmas over there is all about Christ. And what a blessing it is. And this is the workers, some of the workers who work. This is the young people going into the sick and playing and singing to them. The word of God is preached every day in the House of Hope. And the young people play a big part in that. And that's the elderly who have been found in dire circumstances, now being loved and cared for and really well looked after. She doesn't want to leave there. She just loves it. We found one lady lying in this in her flat. That's a cockroach nest. She was living in that with the cockroaches eating her alive. We heard about it. We went to her. We were able to take her to the House of Hope. That's her there. They brought her in. They loved her. She trusted in Christ, and then she died. Brothers and sisters, it's giving people hope. The House of Hope is designed to give people hope. Many people have been helped and many people saved in that place. This is the outcome of the House of Hope. All these old people that you're hearing about, they go on to be baptized. That's Veru. That just says believe. And this is the elderly being brought in. They want to be baptized. This is the ones that's had heart attacks, strokes. This is the ones who can no longer walk, and they're being carried in their wheelchairs to be baptized. Doesn't matter if they have to break the ice. I have photographs and videos of them breaking the ice in minus 30 degrees to go in and to be baptized. So is their love and hunger and desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, brothers and sisters, some nights we get a wee bit of wind and a wee bit of rain, and we think, I'll not bother going to the prayer meeting tonight. It's cold out there. And they'll walk for miles in 3 feet of snow just to be where the church of God is, just to be where the believers are. It's such and so encouraging. And then we met this lady. Her son had beaten her up and broke her leg. So we brought her for protection to the House of Hope. And she's being looked after. Pastor Pavel with her. as the old lady hears the gospel for the first time and repents and comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Pavel, I'm coming to the end now. As he was driving home in the midst of all the persecution that they're going through at the moment, as he was driving home, he was passing a dump. A dump there is just an old skip, and all the rubbish is scattered around it. And he saw an old lady lying there in the middle of it all. And he stopped the car, and he went over, and she had taken a stroke. And he phoned the authorities who were persecuting him, because they had said to him, "You're going to prison if you do any more of this work." And he said, "I've found a lady here. She's taken a stroke. She's lying in the dump." And they said, he says to them, "You can send me to prison if you want, but I'm taking her home with me." And he took her home, and the family loved them. He gave her a bed in his home. And they loved her. They cared for her. They looked after her. They ministered the gospel to her. And she passed away 2 weeks after he found her. But brothers and sisters, does it not do your heart good to hear there's Christians like that? What would we do if we passed somebody in that condition? Would we stop? Would we stop to help them and be a blessing to them? The farm ministry, Pasha and Natasha are two full-time workers. We met him through our ministry in the prisons. And he had murdered two men. The Lord saved them. What a transformation in this man's life. Such a humble man and his wife. And they serve the Lord through the farm that we have right on the Russian border. We're only a couple of kilometers from the Russian border. And the food that through the farm, we feed the poor. We don't, nothing's sold. Everything's given away freely to help the people who are very poor, because it's quite an extreme place. This is the outcome of the farm ministry. House meetings throughout the Russian border, going into the people. The villagers come in to hear the word of God. And again, such a fruitful ministry, going to people who have never heard the gospel. That was just in August. He was a fireman just after a 24-hour shift, came into the house meeting and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wouldn't go home. He followed us round the villages, going into all the meetings with us. And on the last house, I said, "Well, if you're going to be staying, you can give your testimony." He said, "What's that?" I said, "Just tell them what happened to you today, what God did for you." And what a blessing it was as he stood up and just told the people what God did for him just that day. Before he did go, he told me about his brother, Nikolai, who was a policeman, ex-policeman, just like me. He said, "Will you come and speak to him? He's dying with MS. Will you speak to him?" And we went along to his brother, Nikolai, who was lying in a terrible, terrible state. And when he heard that I was a policeman, he really tried to perk up. And I said to him, "Are you ready for heaven?" He said, "No." I said, "It's time to get ready." He said, "Yes." And he repented and he accepted the Saviour into his life. So, brothers and sisters, you can see that there's a whole lot. I'm coming to the end. The farm ministry opened their door one morning and they found two men lying in the grass outside their house. Two homeless men, the frostbite on their face, and the other one had frostbite on his toes. They were turning black already, lying in minus 30 degrees. What did Pasha and Natasha do? They didn't take a brush to them and tell them to scram and go somewhere else. They took them into their house and they sat them down and they cleaned them up and they fed them and they loved them and they told them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they took them to the rehabilitation center and they left them with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, in finishing, What do you do when you see people like this? Because there's people like this here, isn't there? There's people like this in Newton Ards. What do you do? Do you cross over to the other side of the street when you see one of them coming towards you? Or do you stop and talk to them and maybe buy them a little cup of stew or a roll? Maybe help them with something like that. Don't give them money because they'll spend it in drink probably. But buy them some food and tell them that you love them. And tell them that the Lord Jesus Christ loved them and died for them. Brothers and sisters, don't turn away from people like this. You know, when I see people like this, do you know what crosses my mind? Unawares you have entertained angels. Maybe the Lord is putting you through a little test. That could be the Savior himself. He wants to see how you react. Do you love people the way that he loved them? Or are we just like the people of the world that will walk by them, do nothing for them, never give them a second thought? Brothers and sisters, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. It's not your love and it's not my love, it's His love. It's easy to share it with people. It really is. And when we do share it with people, it has a great, great effect. May God bless you. Thank you so much. Please try and remember some of the things that I asked for prayer tonight. Remember this. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Brothers and sisters, we're saved and we're saved to serve. Do your service for the Lord from your heart. Do it with love. Do it with joy. Do it with great passion. We're not serving men. We're not serving the boss down the road. We're serving Christ. We have to give Him our best. Do it with a heart full of love for people, no matter who they are. Catholic, Protestant, Hindu, Muslim, doesn't matter what color they are. They all need Christ. And brothers and sisters, do it with a heart full of love and joy, and do it with a heart full of passion. Please remember to pray for the House of Hope. We need protection for the House of Hope. Please pray for the disabled camp. We really need to keep these ministries moving forward. We really do appreciate everything that everybody does, especially prayer. We really need you to pray. We've seen so many breakthroughs in prayer, and I don't believe the House of Hope will ever close. The Lord built it. Thank you so much. Mr. Porter, thank you so much for this opportunity to be here tonight. And brothers and sisters, thank you. Have a wonderful Christmas, a Christ-exalting Christmas, a God-glorifying New Year. And thank you again, and God bless you.